give the Lord a big praise. I can take your seat. Everyone excited to be in the presence of God today, say amen. It's been a week of great impact with God's servant Pastor Iya Adeboye, Bishop David Oyedepo, and several of the great generals passing through this altar this week. This past week at the Pentecostal Fellowship of Nigeria 40th anniversary and 18th biennial conference. We say to God be the praise for the privilege. Give the Lord a big praise. Hallelujah. The outcome or the effect of vision, the product and effect of vision, part two. Ezekiel chapter 12, verse 22 to verse 23 says, Son of man, what is that proverb that you have in the land of Israel saying, the days are prolonged and every vision faileth? Tell them therefore, thus saith the Lord God, I will make this proverb to cease, and they shall no more use it as a proverb in Israel. But say unto them, the days are at hand, and the effect of every vision. Say louder, amen. Every delay in the life of everyone is arrested right now in Jesus' name. Our objective is to understand the effect or the outcome of vision. And there were two things we said by general introduction today, that every vision is designed to produce effect, an outcome. For the visionary, every vision, visible effect, an outcome. So visions have effect. Secondly, we said that the effect of vision is produced not just in the endeavor of the visionary, but also in the life of the visionary. That is, the vision does not just impact what you do, it impacts who you are. The vision does not only make what you do successful. It makes your own life productive. There is something it does in you. It is like prayer. Prayer does not only change things. Prayer changes the people who pray the prayer. So vision does not just affect the things of a man. It affects the life of the person. And in the first service, we looked at seven of the effects of vision. One, we said that vision brings wisdom. It puts the mind to work. Innovation, creativity, they break forth from vision. The mind of the visioner. Two, we said vision begs diligence. Men of vision are diligent entities. Laziness is strange. They are strangers to laziness. Third, that vision gives birth to speed and progress. People of vision achieve more in life than those without vision. Four, Vision delivers from distraction. The absence of vision is the abundance of distraction. We saw that. Five, that vision guarantees completion. Show me a man who is running a vision, and I will show you somebody who will not be a victim of abandoned projects. Especially, that vision is from heaven. Number five, six, vision begs joy. Joy and fulfillment. The joy of knowing that you have something you are living for. And the joy of accomplished goals. And seven, a vision is the way of dominion. People of vision always take charge. They are in charge. They are in command. This is just a very, very serious summary of something that was preached for almost an hour. So I'll encourage you to pick it up and look at them. So we're going to look at the seven others in this service. And that is first, that vision unveils opportunities and possibilities. Vision unveils opportunities and possibilities. And I'll say two or three things. First, opportunities and possibilities may exist unnoticed, untapped, until vision is available. Opportunities and possibilities may exist unnoticed, untapped, until vision is available. In 1 Samuel chapter 17 verse 40, there were stones, smooth stones, in a brook that could bring down a Goliath. But nobody knew until the Goliath showed up, and there was somebody who had the vision of bringing down that Goliath. Goliath was covered everywhere. The whole of his body was covered. But there was a space on his forehead that could admit a bullet. There was a space on his forehead that could admit a missile. And nobody saw it until the person who saw, who got the vision that he was killable. I hear what I'm saying here today. So in this world, we don't have a shortage of possibilities. We have a shortage of vision. In this world, we don't have a shortage of opportunities. We have a shortage of vision. Opportunities are everywhere. Possibilities are everywhere. But it takes men of vision, people of vision, to tap them. The second thing to note is what your inner eye sees will determine what your outer eye will notice. What your inner eye, and that inner eye is the eye of the mind, the eye of vision. What your inner eye sees will determine what your outer eye will notice, your physical eye will notice. Bible calls something the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. So until vision is in place, there are things around you that your outer eye can never notice. There are things your outer eye will never notice until your inner eye has seen something. That is the eye of vision. Am I communicating at all? All of a sudden, you are trusting the Lord to conquer millions and billions for the sake of impacting your world with the gospel. And you are driving. All of a sudden, your eyes open to financial wealth resources that others haven't seen. The third thing I want to say is, until vision fills your mind, many things won't cross your mind. There are things that can't cross your mind until vision fills your mind. When your mind is filled with vision, it is easy for possibilities to cross the mind. It is easy for possibilities to cross the mind. In John chapter 6 verse 5 all the way to verse 9, when Jesus had the vision of feeding the crowd, then the possibility crossed the mind of one of the disciples. Oh, there is a lad here that has 5 loaves and 2 fishes. But what is that? I prophesy today, possibilities and opportunities shall explode around you. As you step forward today with vision, what is possible, are you ready for this? What is possible shall become visible. What did I say? What is possible shall what? Become visible. What is possible shall become visible. What is possible shall become visible. And that happens at the frequency of vision. So vision unveils possibilities and opportunities. Number two, which coincides with number 9. Vision bets health and vitality. People of vision are people of strength, health, and vitality. Arise, shine, for light is come. That light can be the light of vision. People of vision are people of strength, health, and vitality. There are 3 things I want to say very, very quickly. Number one, vision is a taproot of strength. A taproot of strength. Weak people are not runners. It is strong people that are runners. Habakkuk 2 verse 2. Write the vision, make it plain that he may run. Verse 3. 2. Write the vision, make it plain that he may run. Arise, shine. Vision is taproot for strength. There is unbeatable strength and energy inside vision. Let me give you an example. Many years ago, take your seat so that people at the back can see. I was going to preach in Kogi State, Anyigba in particular, for a crusade. The crusade was fixed for the same day as healing and deliverance service. So, I had finished preaching in healing and deliverance service. And I was to drive after healing and deliverance service. I saw how my body felt. It was a very intense healing and deliverance service. And then my mind began to calculate the road from here to Gwagwalaga, to Kwali, to Abaji, Lokoja. Then Ajakuta Road, that should be like 15, 20, 30 minutes at the most, was becoming like 2 hours. I calculated how to pass through Ajakuta Road. And then Ito beside. And then go all the way to Anjima. When I saw the calculation in my head, it didn't appear realistic that after healing service, I can go and then start preaching the same day. So I called the pastor. And I said, Pastor, please, I am unable to come today. I'd like you to help me take tonight's session of the crusade. I'll be there in the morning. He said, yes, sir. Even though people have been here since morning at the crusade ground, they have gathered since morning that they've been coming. And by 12 noon, the place was flooded for a service that will start in the evening. Desperately sick people. People that were carried. My vision just went there straight. I saw the crowd of people in pain and affliction, in need of help. Once I pictured that, weakness disappeared. Tiredness died. I told him, I said, I'm on my way. I entered the vehicle. I didn't remember how Ajakuta Road looked like anymore. I didn't remember the passage of Ethiopia. I didn't remember anything anymore. All I saw was afflicted, desperate people in need of help. When I stepped there, I wasn't tired. I preached like somebody from another world. Took testimonies for the next one and a half hours. You see, if you don't want your life to waste, run with vision. It's a taproot of strength. Number B, vision reinvigorates and revitalizes. Again, vision renews. In fact, renews, recharges, reinvigorates, regenerates. Renews, recharges, reinvigorates, and regenerates the system of man. There is something about vision that renews you, that reinvigorates you, that recharges you, that regenerates your system. That was what he did to the animals of Laban in Genesis chapter 30, verse 37. Their system was recharged. Renewed, regenerated, reinvigorated to produce according to what? Jacob saw. Thirdly, finally for this, vision supplies life to the system of the visionary. It supplies life. The Bible said, my people, where there is no vision, people perish. That is, they are cut off from life. Genesis 29 verse 18. People are deprived of life. Disconnected from life. Where there is no vision. It supplies life. It supplies life. If you look at scripture, Abraham, the man of vision, the one that God said, lift up your eyes and see. Genesis 13, 14 and 15. That man of vision was a man who was durable. He was durable on the earth. In Genesis 25, earlier on I quoted Genesis 13, 14 and 15, where God was showing him the vision. And then look at his durability of life. Genesis 25, verse 7 to verse 8. And these are the days of the years of Abraham's life, which he lived. 175 years old. And he gave up the ghost and died in good old age. An old man, full of years, he was gathered to his people in full old age. That was vision. Joseph, the man who saw himself and his brethren bowing down to him. In Genesis chapter 37, verse 5 to verse 9, he saw his brethren bowing to him. That same Joseph, how durable was he? Genesis 50 and in verse 26. Genesis chapter 50, verse 26. And the Bible said, so Joseph died, being 110 years old. And they embalmed him. And he was put in a coffin in Egypt. Somebody say a loud amen. You will live long. Can I hear a louder amen? You will live long. You will fulfill your days. 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 If you are saying amen, say louder amen. I placed a vision of somebody taking care of his children. Somebody was talking like he wants to die. I was standing by his bedside. I said, don't die. Nobody can take care of another person's children like the person. Glazy eyes, death-stained eyes, brightened like this. Really? Just one tiny vision. See your children grow. He lived. Sickness, the killer sickness, died till forever. It's terminal disease. Oh. Terminal. It's chemical disease. Massive heart attack. On oxygen. This your child need to marry. You haven't seen the marriage. This one need to graduate. This one need to put all those pictures. So really? Under 24 hours, oxygen was disconnected. You know, a study was made that I came across in Zig Ziglar, where he said they studied octogenarians, people who lived above 80. What was the secret of their longevity? One man, they came to do the interview for him. Just tell us your secret. The man wasted their time until time was gone. You know how some old elderly people can behave. He was on the television set, busy arranging things. They say, sir, please, we are paying for airtime. He was not aware, just arranging his things. By the tail end of the interview, he told them, he said, see that flower there that I just arranged? By this time next year, it will be blooming, and I will watch it. He kept something that should keep him till next year in his front. That should keep him till he kept it in his front. You will not die before your time. If you are saying amen, shout the loudest amen. It doesn't matter who has been cut short in your family before their time. You shall not be cut short. In the name that is above every name, I decree you shall fulfill your days. Look at the number, say, keep something in front of you to keep you going. Don't leave here in a hurry. Take your seat. You know, there are people who don't say, who say, what is this life all about? Let me just go. When people think like that, I am sorry to say it, but it is very, very selfish. There is an element of selfishness in people taking their own lives. That is, doesn't care what happens to his wife and what they will feel for the rest of their life. Or the mockery the wife will be facing for husband taking his own life. He doesn't care what happened to the parents. See what Paul the Apostle said in Philippians chapter 1 verse 21. It's very insightful. He said, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Now keep reading. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I wot not. For I am in a struggle, a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and be with the Lord, which is far better. He said, but to abide in the flesh, to keep on living, is more needful for you. The desire for me is to go, but to be around is important to you. Verse 25, he said, and having this confidence, I know, since it is clear that remaining with you is better for you for now, I shall abide and continue with you all for the furtherance and joy of your faith. So I have a choice, but I'm considering you. It is better for me to go, but it's my desire to go, but for you it's better to stay. And let me not break your heart. Let me remain. Let me not baptize you with sorrow. Let me remain with you. Do you understand what I'm saying? You will remain. And any problem that is trying to make you think of going, we command it arrested. We declare it roasted and set on fire. Any human being that will not allow you to rest, we declare that they shall be laid to rest. Everyone who will not let you go, they shall go for you. If you are saying amen, say loud amen. Say a believer's amen. Give the Lord the praise. Supplies life to the system of the visionary. What number are we? Number three. Vision bets impact. People of vision are people of impact. People without vision are people without impact. You see our fathers in the Lord, Bishop David Oyedepo, Daddy Gio. The kind of things that fill their heart is massive when you come close to them. How is this so? Philippians chapter 3 verse 13 to verse 14. See what Paul the apostle is saying. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind. And reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I press for the mark. I press for the mark. Why does vision create impact? Take note of the following. Impact is the product of targets, and target are the outcome of vision. Impact is the product of target or targets, and targets are the outcome of vision. Whenever a person has a vision, he has targets. And when you have target, you have impact. That is, you hit the mark. That is what happens. So vision makes a person to be target specific. Secondly, with vision, you don't scatter your shots. You don't run wild. You don't run in all directions. So impact is easy. With vision, you don't scatter your shots. You don't run wild. You don't run in all directions. So impact is cheap. But when people don't have a vision, they scatter their shots. They run wild. They run in all directions. So impact is difficult. Is God speaking to anybody here at all? That is what makes visionaries to be impactful people. They are impactful people. Impactful people. Thirdly, with vision, you move with speed and specificity. Speed and specificity. Because vision makes people to run. Write the vision, make it plain that he may run that reality. With vision, you run with speed and specificity. So impact is guaranteed. Do you know the difference between the impact of an AK-47 bullet in the man's hand that he threw versus the one he fired from the rifle? The rifle firing is high velocity. The speed is so high, so the impact is very disastrous. That's how it is. When you are a man of vision, you don't move slow. You move with speed. You move with specificity. So impact is massive. Today, everyone who is a low-flying, low-impact person, the end of it has come. If you say amen, say loud amen. If you are saying amen, say loud amen. Take your seat. I'm sure you have seen people before who retired and agreed to be tired. They retired and they are tired. After a short few years, in fact less than a year, they added the equivalent of almost 5 or 10 years in their look. He retired at 60. He is now 61. He's looking like 70. But you have seen people who retired and refuse to be tired. By the time he's 90, he's jumping like he's still 50, 40. It's a matter of the mindset. Someone say a louder amen. Somebody say a louder amen. Somebody say the loudest amen. The other day, my children and I were talking. And they're saying, Daddy, you are, I don't know whether we're dancing or I don't know what we're doing. Say, you are behaving and functioning as if you are our age grade. I said to them, don't you know? I am in my 20s. Just that I have experience on the age. You may be 20-something for the first time. I am 20-something for over 30 years now. Praise the Lord. So, vision makes you run with speed. You move with speed. You move with specificity. You are not guessing. So, your impact is quick. Very, very massive. That is the story of somebody. If you are that one, say loud, amen. Number four. Vision delivers from competition. Do you see the product of vision? It delivers from competition, contention. In Joel chapter 2 verse 7, the Bible said concerning the end time army, they shall run like mighty men. They shall climb the wall like men of war. And they shall march everyone on his ways. Everyone know his way. They shall not break their ranks. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 12. He said, for we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. But they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. Competition. Take note of this following under this. First, the presence of a clear vision is the escape from imitation. The presence of a clear vision is the escape route from imitations in life. And actually, imitation many times is limitation. Limitation. Where a clear vision is absent, there is the limitation of imitation. Secondly, the presence of a clear vision is the escape route from every attempt to outdo others, which is what competition is all about. The presence of a clear vision is the escape route from every attempt to outdo others. When you don't have a clear vision for your life, you attempt to not just copy what people do, but to try to outdo people, to try to deshine people. Thirdly, where vision is present, what is popular does not matter. When vision is present, you don't become a slave of the popular. You are not a slave of what is in vogue. When you have a well-defined vision, what is popular or what is in vogue does not move you. Especially when they don't line up with the vision of God for your life. I want you to hear this. Because many people abandon their visions to run other people's visions. That is, they took what others are running to run it. You will never be such a victim. Can somebody say loud amen? Can somebody say loud amen? Can somebody say the loudest amen? Can somebody say the loudest amen? In the Bible, there were prophets who prophesied around the same time. Ezra existed at the same time with Nehemiah. But Ezra had a clear vision for the rebuilding of the temple. Nehemiah had a clear vision for the rebuilding of the walls. There was no clash. There was no contrast. In the same city, in the same territory, under the same king, Zechariah and Haggai existed in the same season, but their missions and commissions were different. Am I communicating? You will not be a victim of competition. Jeremiah and Isaiah. Jeremiah was an intercessory weeping prophet. Isaiah was a messianic prophet. Different. Somebody say a loud amen. I see somebody here today. You will fulfill your destiny. Oral Roberts and Billy Graham were contemporaries. They minister the gospel at the same time in America. Oral Roberts built Oral Roberts University and invited Billy Graham for the commissioning and dedication of the university. Billy Graham commissioned Oral Roberts University excitedly. No contention, no competition. It's not father and son, no, it's contemporaries. Now, I want you to hear more. Billy Graham never felt the call of healing or deliverance in his ministry. But he felt the call, a very strong call for salvation. Billy Graham, in those days, if he made an altar call, if Satan was there, he may answer the altar call. By the time they start singing, "Just as I am without all but," Jesse said to Plantis, all of those men, you know, they all gave their life to Christ in Billy Graham's meeting. The founder of 700 Club, Pat Robertson, all of them. But he never felt the call to pray for the sick. One day, while they were singing, in his crusade, a sick man, blind eye open. They came to tell him, somebody's blind eye just opened. He said, really? That is very strange. That doesn't normally happen here. He continued his ministration. He faced his life. Now, this is the most drastic one. His partners, those that are part of his ministry, financially and otherwise, got a very massive land. Already registered, Billy Graham University. And they said, we have the land ready. Everything is ready, set for Billy Graham University. All we need for you is to endorse and sign. You don't need to do anything about it. Money, everything is available for it. He said, really? That wasn't a part of what God showed me. God didn't show me that one. He was not convincible. He didn't sign. He didn't follow it. And there is no Billy Graham University. The availability of the money and the availability of everything does not connote vision. The man didn't branch there at all. That's what has limited many people in our generation. Attempt to do it because he is doing it, she is doing it, they are doing it. One of the men that God, that was giving us his aircraft for crusades, he said he has never, two things, he's a billionaire. Big stake in banking and finance. In his field, he's both in agriculture and aviation too. In one of those fields, he's number one in the country. See, he has not branched near oil and gas. Because people think that because to be very, very rich in Nigeria, you must be into petroleum. He has not branched near there one day. Neither his contract, his REM. Give me 100 billion contract. Psh, he won't touch it. He says, since 1999, he decided against God. See, he doesn't want to beg anybody, and he doesn't want to be compromised. He doesn't want anybody to ask him for anything. So he branched away from there, but he has his products that you pay for without any compromise. Like for example, he has houses that has $1 million per house. Do you understand what I'm saying? He didn't. Yes, in Nigeria here. He didn't branch where anybody. You see, there is a spot for you. And on that spot, you will shine. If you are saying amen, say louder, amen. Lift your hands and say, Father, I receive the grace to run the vision without imitation. I receive that grace now. Shout the loudest amen. Hallelujah. Is somebody getting anything here at all? Vision delivers from competition. Number five, vision guarantees possession. Possession. You start with the vision, you end with the possession. Vision guarantees possession. What is the meaning of this? First, with the life of vision, empty-handedness is impossible. You cannot be a man, a woman of vision by the help of God and end your journey empty-handed. It's impossible. Because the vision shall speak. At the end, it speaks. Habakkuk 2:3. Secondly, what man sees directs what God gives. What man sees directs what God gives. You say, can man give direction to God? God is watching the vision of man to do what he wants. He directs. How? He said, for all the land which thou shalt see, to thee will I give. Genesis chapter 13. I believe it's in verse 15. What man sees determines what God gives. So that is why vision brings possession. If you can see it, God can give it. If you can see it, God will give it. Thirdly, vision fuels pursuit. And pursuit brings possession. Vision begs pursuit. People of vision are runners. They are pursuers. So with vision comes pursuit, and with pursuit comes possession. That he may run. Friends, the more certain your vision, the more certain your possession. If your heart is not empty of vision, your hand cannot be empty of possession. If your heart is not empty of vision, your hand cannot be empty of possession. Hallelujah. Number six. Can I proceed? Number six. But what have we said so far? Start from number eight. That's one. That vision unveils opportunities and possibilities. Your eye sees. Second, we said that vision births health and vitality, life. Third, we said that vision gives birth to impact. You don't scatter your shots. Fourth, we said that vision delivers from competition and contention. You are not contending or competing with anybody. Fifth, that vision guarantees possession. Are we actually number five? All right, number six. Vision brings rest. Somebody say rest. You are restful. You are restful. You are restful when you run with vision. What kind of rest? Two or three types of rest. First, it is rest from knowing that you are not wasting your life and time. Because when you are a man or a woman of vision, your life is planned. Your time is planned. You have a target. It is read from knowing that you are not wasting your life. You are not wasting your time. Second, it is rest from knowing that even if the vision tarries, it will speak at the end. There is that rest. Especially if you have run vision before and you saw the results of it. There is that rest. That even if the vision tarries, it will speak at the end. Thirdly, it is rest from knowing that God is not a man to fail. Especially if the vision is from God. The rest from knowing that God is no man to fail. Vision brings rest. It births rest. So you see people of vision doing mega things, but they are so restful. You see people without vision doing nothing. They are so stressed up. Do you understand? They are so stressed up, confused, disoriented, wondering what is going on, how the time is flying so fast, and they can't account for anything with the time that is passing. Scattered. You can imagine that. After the week-long program, I was to minister on Thursday morning, and I did not know until almost midnight of Wednesday. Papa Oyedepo asked me to find out when is his schedule of ministry. When they gave me the schedule, I saw my name. I was to preach before him. I said, why? I'm not aware. So they sent letter. We saw no letter. And I'm to preach tomorrow. In fact, and we're doing command the day midnight prayer. That night, I think I slept almost about 4 a.m. Came here, I preached. Left here. Saturday came, I went to Law School Buhari to preach. Yesterday, left Law School Buhari and went to Ido Saraki. I think some of them are here this morning to preach. Left there, came for midnight prayer in the midnight. All of this is yesterday to preach and minister. Prepared for morning service, we are here. Evening, we are in Warri for crusade. Monday, we are in Warri for crusade. Tuesday, we are in Uyo for crusade. Wednesday, we are for crusade. Thursday, we are in Lagos for crusade. Friday, we are in Lagos for crusade. Saturday, I am with Papa Adeboya at the Tava Balewa Square for his 83rd birthday light up crusade. Come to Sunday. In between all these things, tracts and handbills for evangelism that will be distributing next Sunday will be prepared. Seed of Destiny will be prepared. Books will be reviewed. Other schedules are going on. And you are calm. You are normal. You are not running crazy. You are not screaming on your wife and children because you are under pressure. They are coming and still receiving hugs and welcome hands. Why? Because everything that needs to be done is scheduled. It's clear. For this angle, this is to be done. For this line of things, this is to be done. That is to be done. It breathes rest. I've seen a lot of visionless people look more stressed, tensed up, confused than those who have a clarity of what they are doing. I declare today, every trace of pressure and every trace of tension around your life be over forever. You believe that? Say louder, amen. You believe that? Shout the loudest, amen. Say, in the name of Jesus, I have rest because I have vision. I have rest. Job chapter 14, verse 14. While Job was in affliction, he was at rest. If a man dies, shall he live again? No. Job 14:14. All the days of my appointed time, I will wait till my change come. I'm at rest. Something is changing, and it must change. Romans chapter 4 and in verse 20, look at Abraham. The Bible said, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. He staggered not. He was at rest. Because he knew the child was coming. I speak rest to somebody today. In Jesus' precious name. Finally, vision is key to an outstanding life. It's key to the outstanding life. Arise, shine. Light is come. That light can be the light of vision. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid. Light. Vision is key to an outstanding life. People of vision stand out in life. They stand out. They stand out. Why is that so? Two things, and then we are good. One, vision has to do with the possession of light. And where there is light, there is distinction. It has to do with the possession of light. Vision people are lighted people. And second, vision brings speed. And to move with speed is to stand in distinction. Bring speed, speed, speed. Hallelujah. When you see two people grow up, the one with the vision, pursuing the vision and realizing the vision, will stand out far more than the one without a vision. Without a vision. Without a vision. Beloved, having said all of this, what is my counsel? Twofold. One, camp with God to access his vision, plan, and purpose for your life continually. Camp there. Remain with God. I will stand upon my watch and I will watch to see what he will say unto me. Watch with God. When you overwhelm your life with human company that is devoid of divine company, it blurs your vision. Your real vision for life becomes blurred. Especially with the wrong company. Camp with God. Secondly, make kingdom vision your life's priority. It will make every other vision or pursuit of your life worth the while. Make kingdom vision your life's priority. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. We have an evangelistic mandate for 2025. There are those in this church that are winning 1,000 souls a month. A year, sorry. 84 souls a month. 21 souls a week. If you are a part of this vision, don't relax. Don't relent. If you are not a part of this vision, don't just do nothing because you can't do that one. Make up your mind that church on a Sunday is not something you plan to come without coming with people. I told people, when you are lost in God, you will be found on it. People, you cannot be lost in God and be lost in the crowd at the same time. When you are lost in God, in his assignment, in his purpose for your life, you stand out among men.
That is the kind of help
God has given to some of us. You stand out amidst men. I know of billionaires who are standing out among men in their generation. Every week on evangelism. Every week. They prepare their way before God on Monday. They go on evangelism on Saturday. I know of people like that. Don't face your little life. When I say little, it is not out of disrespect. It is because our lives are tiny compared to the purpose of God. Is that correct? Compared to God's agenda, whatever we want to achieve is tiny. Don't face that tiny life. Even if it appears as if problem is trying to distract you. Distract the problem by facing God. Tell the problem, you cannot render me useless. You cannot make me useless in the service of God. I will serve the Lord. And the Lord will solve your challenge. Somebody say aloud, amen. I pray that God will give us the strategy. He will give us the energy. He will give us the wisdom. He will give us everything it takes to seek Him first. And all other things shall be added. Somebody say aloud, amen. Before I entered any house that could be called my house, we had built plenty houses for God. Plenty. Plenty. By the time we were 13 years in the ministry, churches have been planted everywhere. Church buildings have been built everywhere. We were still living in rented house. Not because there was no money, but we did not remember that we did not have a house. Am I communicating? One day somebody said, I should buy a shoe. How much is it? He says 7,000. I say 7,000. I have not given God an offering of 7,000 before. That's 20 something years ago. How can I use 7,000 to buy a shoe? That shoe, does it have tire? So that if I wear it, I don't walk again. That was then. Beloved, within that same week, I spent 50,000 on the matters of God. Within that same time, I couldn't use the 7,000 to buy shoe. Today, I don't have to buy shoe. I don't have to. What I'm wearing, I didn't buy it. Do you understand? Somebody said to me the other day, the shoe I gave you, you have not worn it yet. I say, I don't wait for me to wear it. There are shoes that I was given that I have not opened in the last 4 years. Are you following what I'm saying here today? When shoe was not a priority to use 7,000 then to buy, but I can use more than 7 or 50,000 to do anything for God then. Then he said, if you want to have a shoe shop, I can give you. I like you to face God. I didn't remember to build a house. Either church building house for pastor, or pastor building house for him by himself from his own money for over 13 years of ministry. Then today, somebody say, I have a house for you in America. Went to America to preach. He said, I have a house for you. Free of charge. It's your own. Till today, I haven't gone to see the house. I don't have the time yet. Let
Let's put God first. Let's face God. And what others face will begin to look for us. Don't let this year pass until you are lost in the assignment of God, in soul winning assignment. Until you are lost in prayer for the souls. Those who are doing the evangelism assignment today, these 1,000 souls, they are also on a weekly intercession in groups for the souls to be won and those already won. Don't be left out. It's a new season. Let what God wants and what God wants to do, let Him be priority. And once that is priority, the rest is a walkover. You are going to pray. One day, Bonke prayed for me. He said God should put a deposit of his heart, what he felt when he was sending his son to come and die for the world. He should put a little of it in my heart. That prayer I'm going to pray. We're going to pray today. And let God put us into his assignment of changing our world. And you will be shocked that the things that you consider a problem or a challenge are no longer a problem. But I announce today is a new day for somebody. Are you that person? If you are that person, stand on your feet with a louder shout of amen. Stand with a louder shout of amen. Lift up your hands and give him the praise. Give him the praise. Give him the honor. Give him the adoration. Give him the worship. Give him the supremacy. The dominion. The rule. All I can say is those who have pledged for the assignment, don't relax, don't relent. And those who are not doing anything for God yet, don't wait further. Start, hit the road, and let God prove to you. We're trusting God that by our collective effort of soul winning, this place will be overflooded 3 times, 5 times, every Sunday. Before this year is out, we should be able to trust God a minimum of 3 times. With souls, thousands of people, 300,000 minimum, that are coming afresh to serve the Lord. We're going to pray the same prayer we prayed in the first service. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Everybody read together. One to go. 1 minute. First, the kingdom of God. Let's go. One to go. First, the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Lift your voice and say after me, say, Father, I receive the energy and the strategy to seek first the kingdom of God and your righteousness. The energy and the strategy for soul winning, I receive now in the name of Jesus. Again, Father, I receive the energy and the strategy to seek first the kingdom of God and your righteousness and the energy and the strategy for soul winning. I receive now in the name of Jesus. Go ahead, open your mouth in prayer. Pray. In Jesus' precious name. Luke chapter 10 verse 19. Let's read together. One to go. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Now, while we go out on these crusades, you may not be able to go physically, but you can go in your prayers. You can go in your finances. All the crusades we go to, not a dime of offering is taken, but millions per crusade is spent. Millions. You can be a part of it. Beyond that, you can be a part of the soul winning effort by
home-based soul winning.
While we are on the field and you are at home,
winning your souls like fire and directing them to church. Now, we are going to pray for the crusades, and praying for it makes you a part of it. The results happening there, you are a part of it. So let's pray this prayer and say after me, say, Father,
we
compel
the
submission
of the territorial
principalities
of
Warri,
of Uyo,
of
Lagos
to
the authority
of Jesus
this week, Lord,
in the
name of Jesus.
Again, Father,
we
compel
the
submission
of
the territorial
principalities
of Warri,
Uyo,
and
Lagos
to
the authority
of
Jesus
this week,
Lord,
in the
name of Jesus.
Go ahead, open your mouth and pray. In Jesus' precious name. Acts chapter 10 verse 38. Let's read together. One to go. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Lift your voice and say after me, say, Father,
we ask
for the harvest
of
souls,
of
miracles,
of healing,
of deliverance,
and
revival
this
week
in
all the crusades,
oh Lord,
in the
name of
Jesus.
Again,
Father,
we
ask
for
the harvest
of souls,
of
miracles,
of healing,
of
deliverance,
and
revival
this
week
in
all the
crusades,
oh
Lord,
in the
name
of
Jesus.
Go
on
ahead and speak to God.
The harvest
of
souls,
the
harvest
of
miracles,
the
harvest
of healing,
the
harvest
of
deliverance,
the
harvest
of
revival.
This
week,
in
all
the
crusades,
Lord,
in
the
name
of
Jesus.
We
ask for the
harvest
of
souls,
the harvest
of
miracles,
the
harvest
of
healing,
the
harvest of
deliverance,
the
harvest
of
revival.
This
week
in all
the
Christmas,
in
the
name
of
Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
And finally, Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. Let's read together. One to go.
And
you overcame
me
by
the blood
of
the
Lamb.
And
by
the
word
of
your
testimony.
Hallelujah.
The
lift your voice and say after me, say, Father,
we
overcome
every
negative
agenda
of the enemy
towards
the crusade
this
week
by
the blood
of
Jesus
in
the name
of Jesus.
Again, Father,
we
overcome
every
negative
agenda
of
the
enemy
towards
the crusade
this
week
by
the blood
of Jesus
in the
name
of
Jesus.
Again,
Father,
we
overcome
every
negative
agenda
of the
enemy
towards
the crusade
this
week
by
the blood
of
Jesus
in the
name of Jesus.
Go
on ahead,
open
your mouth
and
pray.
In
the
name
of
Jesus.
Amen.
The
Lord has heard and
answered
us in
Jesus'
name.
Amen.
Lift up
your
two hands everywhere
you
are.
And
ask that
the
Lord will lay
his
hands
of
passion,
clarity
of
vision,
hands
of
fire
and
purpose
to
lay
it
upon
you
today.
Lift
it higher.
Lift up your hands everywhere you are. And receive the laying on of his hands. I say in the name of Jesus. That hand is a hand of passion. The hand of healing. The hand of deliverance. Fresh fire. Fresh glory. Fresh health. Lift it high up. When I say in the name of Jesus, 1, 2, 3. You scream, I receive. As you place your hand on your head. Father, let this hand of fire, this hand of passion, let it drop right now. In the name of Jesus, 1, 2. The count of 3, scream, I receive, and place your hand on your head. Again, in the name of Jesus, 1, 2, and 3. Receive, receive. Adonai, thank you for your visitation, for touching someone's life. Blessed be your name. Wave your hands and give him the praise. Give him the honor. Give him the adoration. Give him the worship. While we are in this mood, I'm going to pray for the vision and the materials for impartation. While we are in this mood, everywhere you are, please remain standing in need of surrender to Jesus. Forgiveness for your sins. Trusting God for today to be a new day for you. Pray this prayer with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner in need of your help. Come into my life, make me a new person. Today I have decided to follow you, Lord, and no turning back. Forward ever, backward never. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Everyone who prayed that prayer, can I see your hand lifted up? All right, all who need to surrender their life to Christ, you are here. You want your sins forgiven. You want addictions broken. You want to love God and live for Him. Quickly pick your Bibles and your bags and rush to the front. Let's receive you. Remain standing as you come.
Give Him your life.
Quickly.
Give Him your life. Give Him
Dr.
your life.
Our people that we led to Christ yesterday at Indo Sarakin, you can also come forward, all of you, so that we can commence your foundation class process as well. Everywhere you are, surrendering your life, quickly come forward. Let's go.
said that the grace gate should be suspended, please. Service is not true. I welcome you. Please be seated, people. And if there's anyone here also, furthermore, you want to rededicate your life to Jesus, you want addiction broken, there is something you are addicted to, smoking, drinking, lying, cheating, fraud, gambling, masturbation, addiction, and any other form of addiction, you want it broken, I want you also to pick your Bibles and your bags and come forward. Or you have come out like this before, but you want to come again and rededicate yourself because it appears like your spiritual life is not working. Come again. Give a song and let them come.
Goodbye,
give it a count
world.
Of 10. 1.
Stay no longer with you. Goodbye, pleasure.
Precious name. Somebody say a loud amen. Place your hand on your chest one more time and say, Lord Jesus, I come before you to surrender my life to you. Forgive me my sins. Today, I have decided to follow you, Lord. No turning back. From today, forward ever, backward never. The grace to live for you, I receive it. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. I pray for you today. I declare the grace to live for God be released upon you. The yoke of sin be broken. Grace to be everything God wants you to be is your portion. In Jesus' precious name. Somebody say a louder amen.